Welcome to Celebrate Good Lives. We're a funeral podcast, but we're a little bit interesting. I'm Brad.
And I'm Dean. We're just two guys talking about funerals and everything else in between.
So join us on our podcast journey. Well, welcome back to Celebrate Good Lives. It's great to be back with you, my good friend Dean Weber, and I haven't been with you for a couple of podcasts, so it's good to be back here in our new studio.
Hey.
People might have sort of recognized the two men surrounding the beautiful plant, and that's where we're at. So we've moved to a new space purely because we needed somewhere to set things up more permanently, and so we're more set up and we're more permanent now.
We're a growing little family of two.
That's right. And so it's quite cool to be back in, you know, our own space where we can sort of have it set up permanently and just sort of do what we need to do, I guess.
And to you, welcome back. Welcome back to the saddle. You're welcome to have the lead back.
It's nice to be back in the studio and sort of, you know, I came up with a bit of a thought today and thought, I think today's the day where we sit down and we knock one of these.
Yeah, let's do it.
Knock one of these podcasts out. So I guess the theory behind today's podcast, memorable moments, I guess we could call it.
All right.
But we're sort of rolling down the memorable funerals route. And I'm not saying that every funeral is not memorable, because every funeral should be memorable for a family.
Mm-hmm.
Not always in a good way because someone's passed away, but I guess memorable in the fact that the funeral was executed in the way they wanted it or the way the deceased wanted it.
Mm, yes.
And when we talk about the way the deceased wanted a funeral, I guess that's where I get to my point today, where we did a funeral last week.
Yeah, Friday.
Friday. And I would put that down in the memorable moment category for my years as a funeral director.
Oh, that's awesome.
Not because they did anything outrageous or career defining, I guess, for us, but they just did it well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we just met the brief.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the brief was complex, because it wasn't, but it was just a culmination of honoring a great life of someone who was a no frills, no fuss, it is what it is kind of person, mixed with the culmination of a great family.
Yeah.
And thirdly, I guess it all coming together in a way that we felt natural, and that as funeral directors, we felt like we could be ourselves. And I'm not saying that we don't feel like we're ourselves in any other situation, but they wanted us to be organically natural.
And unique.
There was no facade. There was no act. It was Brad and Dean. Do your thing, man.
Yeah.
Just be you.
Yeah.
We don't want to see the black suit and tie. We don't want to see, you know, the bowing or any of the carry on that you see.
I didn't even realize I didn't put on a jacket until I started talking behind the podium. Realized I didn't have a jacket on.
It felt organically natural.
Yeah.
And it felt exactly A, what he would have wanted.
Yep.
B, what the family wanted. And C, it just felt good, man.
And I felt it for anybody who had maybe never experienced our services or our facilities before, that it was professionally presented, looking the part, but portraying, I guess, that modern element of I really do hope people are coming to talk to us because of what's in our head and in our heart, and not just because of the clothes that we wear. So
yeah, 100%. And I think you sort of look at it and go, there were a lot of people there. It was a big funeral, and you see everyone there. And I've always been told, you know, in my years as being a funeral director, that you shouldn't blend in with the family. That you should stand out from the crowd.
Yes.
And you know, in some ways I agree with that, because people need to know who they need to come to sometimes for things.
Yes.
But in that situation,
yeah,
there was no need.
No, I think in the way that it was brought forward, that we, you know, I remember we were both standing at the front door. We had the stack of service sheets,
yeah,
and we were being the ones initiating the engagement with nearly everybody that came in. So it was pretty obvious who to come to. So to me, it was, I felt everything was really comfortable, really good. Normally, I stress out a bit. My palms get all sweaty when it gets down to getting time.
Like,
yeah, I'm going to lose myself in a minute. Yeah. And this, I felt completely fine. I think there was a bit of nervousness in my voice in the beginning when I started talking, but otherwise, I felt good.
In front of the crowd and, you know, as a celebrant, that's a different sort of story.
I felt good.
I stand in the back and play the music. So I guess it's a different feeling. But I guess I just, it got me thinking about memorable moments.
Yeah.
It got me thinking about, things that we could, I guess, things that we have done.
Yep.
And how those things have been portrayed over the years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How memorable funerals can sort of excite you a little bit and sort of get you back on track sometimes.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, doing these, I guess, in this review of, you know, a bit of our careers and a bit of experiences, is going to show that, you know, you can do a lot either as a family or as a professional without a massive amount of time investment or money investment. That to do what we did, we just brought our own golf clubs in.
Yeah.
That our own golf clubs were the majority of the prop.
Exactly.
You know, so to say. So
I kind of thought it was quite a cool way to sort of get this podcast going,
mm-hmm,
and sort of think about other funerals. And I'll start us off.
All right.
Because I didn't preempt you with this topic of conversation.
Many years ago, not many years ago, but a few years ago when I was in Australia, I think music... I'll get to why I'm saying this. The funeral, again, wasn't... It was set on the lifestyle block of the family member, of the person that passed away. It was a beautiful property. Grass, 1 acre, you could probably say. And they had this, like, teepee built, this timber teepee, where I assume a spa pool sat underneath, out in the middle of the yard.
Cool.
And the coffin sat under it. We set up all the chairs. We brought the sound in. All normal stuff, right?
Yes. Yep.
But what the memorable part for me was the music choice.
Yes. I was going to say, a lot of our...
And I'd never heard any of these songs before.
Ah, I know where you're going to go.
Okay.
Yep.
And so I kind of got to thinking while I was there. So he was dressed pretty much like me. In the casket.
A young fella?
No.
No, okay.
I just dressed like an old man. No, he had a particular branded shirt on, which I wear a lot of, pants and boots,
mm-hmm,
exactly what I wear.
Yep.
And he had his hat.
Hey, the hat's back, everyone.
Yeah. And the music was... Zac Brown.
Yes.
And I've talked about this little process before and how I came about Zac Brown.
Yep.
But why, answer me this, why is it that when I think about memorable funerals,
mm-hmm,
I think about that funeral and that music?
Yeah. It's a culmination of all of, I've said it before, I think way back in the beginning of these, it's enticed all of your senses. Your visuals were entertained. Your ears were entertained. Everything was
play.
Yeah, everything was a go, and it caught a chord with you. It had a hook.
It just hooked me in, right? So the opening song was a Zac Brown song. Everyone's sort of, you know, tapping their feet and sort of getting in.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to Zac Brown, you've got to go and try it. But if you don't like country music, then don't bother. But, you know, and then reflection song with the PowerPoint or with the photo presentation, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a carry out song, I think, might have been Knee Deep, right? And
yeah.
It's like, how much did that music,
mm-hmm,
suit that person?
Yep.
Like, ridiculously.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, unbelievable.
Yes.
The way it suited him. The casket was like a big traditional American Batesville.
All right. In Australia?
Yeah, which we sold.
Okay.
We sold heaps of them.
Wow.
To those particular people.
mm-hmm.
outback country kind of guys.
Yeah.
And I guess when I looked, upon reflection, I look at it and I think, man, everything was just so him.
Yeah.
It was just so him.
Yeah.
I can't even remember his name, honestly.
Yeah.
But I remember the funeral and I remember how memorable it was. And you look back at last week and everything from the service sheet
mm-hmm.
through to the service, through to what elements we brought into the funeral.
Mm. It takes a partnership between the family and the funeral director. It takes a funeral director to ask the right questions and to be able to read the situation correctly. And it takes a family willing to have something unique and to want to have that.
As a funeral director, you have to put your paperwork to one side.
Yeah, and just get to know it.
I think the key has been when doing creative funerals or being creative with a funeral and having the right family to do that stuff with.
Yes. Just
putting the paperwork to one side. Let's worry about the BDM later.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dad. Let's talk about what he's into. Yeah. What did he do? What was his jam? Because you guys are coming across as a real creative family. You're upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
You're sad Dad's gone. 100% get it. But at the same time, you want this to be a creative and memorable occasion.
Mm-hmm.
A commemoration event.
Yep.
Not a funeral.
Yep.
And that's the time where you go, okay, what was that? You know what? Never mind. What? You know, we don't worry about
it.
Let's talk. And that was where I went with that family.
Yeah.
I filled out the funeral stuff, right?
You did like the next day. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even look at it. I went around there and I sat down and we talked about Dad.
Yeah.
Helped, I knew them. But sat down, talked about Dad. And then we talked about how it was all going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Key, man. It's key.
I find it's often, you don't know until you know when you're arranging one of these. And it's usually that first drop of, ooh, this has got the chance to be something very special and unique is when you're writing something. And for example, I'm guessing like the first drop was, they had talked to probably about the Doobie Brothers since that was
about the music. Yeah.
Yeah. The song, I get goosebumps. The song to open up the funeral was Listen to the Music by the Doobie Brothers. And I was the celebrant. And
we cranked it, right?
Yeah. And I was the celebrant and, you know, thanking him for having another first in my career. That's the first Doobie Brothers drop for me. That was, perfectly placed. Great.
Yeah.
Songs make it many.
And since that funeral, I've gone and played some Doobie Brothers in my car, right? Because you're it's memorable. It sticks with you.
There's going to be many of the recollections that we're going to have going through here that are going to be music related, I bet.
Mm.
It's going to be the music that's going to pull you back to one of these scenes.
Have you got one off the top of your head?
Oh, I've got many. Yeah? I could talk about this stuff for a long time.
Well, give us one, and then we'll talk about the connections
more. Oh, one of the most fabulous ones that I can remember straight away is a younger lady in her upper 40s, wasn't well, and came in to talk to me exclusively before she passed away and told me exactly what she wanted to do. And she was a kindy teacher. And so we decided to make a waterfall of balloons, literally a waterfall of balloons from the whole front of the chapel was just a waterfall of balloons. And then we had individual pieces of art from the kids at the kindy that we put up all the way across the front. So that was the primary visual.
Yeah, right. Then, so I was just going on the fact of that's a visual, right?
That was the primary visuals. And then she was the adopted number one fan of a local band.
Okay.
And then the local band came forward and paid their tribute and stuff. And it was just a crap day outside. It was crap. Wind blowing sideways in Oakland. Rainy, sleeting. People standing outside through it all. And that was probably one of the most memorable ones that I can initially remember.
And I guess when you think about creativity, right, you think there's probably two elements to creativity.
Mm-hmm.
There's visual.
Yeah. And auditory. Yep.
And once you've got your visual and your auditory together, it creates an absolute banger, man.
Yeah.
And I guess when you know, if there's listeners out there that are thinking about, we've talked about creativity in funerals before, but not to this level, as far as specifics. And I think we've given some advice in the past, but to reiterate that advice,
mm-hmm.
I would say that if you have someone or you know someone or yourself that wants to get creative with a funeral,
yeah,
find the right funeral director that can get creative with you.
Interview us.
Interview your yeah. funeral director. Find yep. out what they're going to do to make your experience better.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because absolutely. If they can create something audio
mm-hmm.
and something visual that's going to not, and I'm not talking they're going to play your favorite song and they're going to do a photo show, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
I'm talking what are they going to do mm-hmm. that makes this funeral memorable?
Mm. Yep. So that, you know, that was
how
a good
do you,
one.
How do you find that funeral director?
Mm. I think it...
Because they're yeah, few and far between.
It is. And as I'm thinking about it more and more, in realizing it, some of my most creative ones are when the person that has passed away has come to talk to me.
Yeah.
And that's when it's really been delivered. I remember my first one I did... that I didn't do in 1-2-3 order,
mm.
like come in to the venue facility, sit down, have the service,
mm.
one, go through the service, carry on,
and then
through the end, cup part
tea,
two,
affirmation.
And then cup of three, cup of tea, part three.
Yeah.
We did it, yeah, basically like 3-1-2, really.
Mm.
Just invited everyone to come in. The food and the drinks were already out, got everybody networking. How did you know her? I knew her, but I don't know you. Mm. And she wanted everyone to be, mm. you know, have this big network of people, of mm. friends, and understand it. And then I started going around with the video camera once people sort of got into their pods, and then asking them to do like a little video testimonial, a little quiet one just to the young kids that were left, and, mm. and sort of, you know, the old school wedding
yeah.
Video. And then, yeah, we just sort of left everybody standing where they were comfortable with their groups. And then we just started, yeah, up and down from the microphone with the speeches and, mm. Yeah, and then had a.
And it sort of, now that you've mentioned that, it sort of brought me back to the champagne breakfast.
Yeah, I was hoping, I knew that one was in my mind, so yeah. that one's coming back. That one was very impressive. I liked that one.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't even see it, but I saw your pictures.
Yeah, and so it was kind of one of those things where the family had said to me, look, we've got a real short time span. It's got to be on Sunday. This was on Friday afternoon. I'm sort of sitting there scratching my head like, Sunday? Like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
You know, nothing really happens on a weekend as far as getting things sorted. So I need to organize food. And then I kind of said to them, you know, like, you guys seem like the kind of people that like, you're wanting Sunday morning, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, if it was me, like, I'd be real keen on a champagne breakfast.
Yeah, that,
and they're
that's
like,
nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mum would have loved a champagne breakfast.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. Leave that with me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we organized the champagne. We organized a breakfast, you know, platters, which was ham and cheese croissants, cream cheese and salmon bellinis.
Yeah.
You know, all the nice
And you acquired all the strawberries from winter.
Bought all the strawberries that I managed to find winter. During the middle of winter. And just turned it into this gathering of mum.
Yeah.
Let's gather around mum, share the champagne, share the breakfast, let her be a part of it,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll go and do mm-hmm. the burial. And mm-hmm. that can be more your formal side where you can say a couple of prayers, which they wanted to do, and do that stuff.
Mm.
And although it was simple and it was basic and there wasn't much to it, it was meaningful
mm.
and memorable.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll still be talking about it, guaranteed.
I still think about it. I've got yeah. a picture in my mind of what it was. And yeah. yeah
we didn't cool. do it in the chapel.
That's right. That's
you know,
right. So, it was, yeah.
We did it in the lounge. Like, we just sort of really kept it casual, but at the same time,
yeah,
it's what mum would have wanted. And I think that's the key, is that you have to make sure that what you're doing isn't exactly what you want. It's what mum would have wanted.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Because we can't take away from the tradition.
True, absolutely.
You know, we can't take away from what tradition is and what some people want, which is the tradition or the standard funeral. And that's fine.
That's great.
We still do them all the time.
Yeah, all
the time. Every week.
Yep.
But the opportunity to be creative when you can be creative as a funeral director,
yes,
is your job satisfaction.
It That's is. That's a big tick in It's the box. Exhilarating. It's exhilarating. It's so satisfying.
Watching it all come together.
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of recollections that I'm coming through. Bagpipers are always sort of a good...
A touching moment.
Into. Different vehicles... The amount of different vehicles that I've used as a hearse, I certainly don't feel that you have to use
the hearse,
man. I've used the back of quad bikes.
Yeah, tractors, trucks.
So many things. It's unbelievable.
Sorts. Yeah.
I was blessed with having a facility with a 6 meter ceiling. And I had a couple of boys. Oh,
the sailboat?
Yeah, the sailboat. Yeah. I had a couple of sons. Their dad was in his 90s, and he had built this last boat in his late 80s.
Mm.
And it was sitting all disassembled, the sailboat, in the Coromandel.
Mm.
And so they towed it all the way up, and we got it all cleaned out, and we brought it inside the building, and we were able to stand the 5 meter mast up and have that on display inside the building as people were coming in. And, you know, minimal effort on my part, and a great reconnection point for the boys to spend the day together, putting stuff together with their sons.
Yeah.
So that was real. I remember that one really well.
And I mean, we've done one only recently as well with the palm tree in the chapel.
Mm, yes. Yep. Yep.
You know, the family wanted the opportunity to have that reconnection and sharing some time together. And the night before, they came in and set the whole front of the chapel up with the palm tree. And mum was in amongst the bush because she loved bush walks. And,
that's right.
You know, all this sort of stuff. She was in a natural casket. All these good things were happening, right? And so... It's about just thinking outside the square, I think. Yeah. I think that's really the game changer.
The one thing that really sort of tips off is that when you make the effort for one person, it sort of starts a trend for the family.
Yeah.
That we don't do them normal. We do them
We do it like this.
And, you know, like for my own family, you know, mine are all in the States. And for my dad specifically, he's sort of brought one of my tips to my Nana's funeral was, you know, I told him to take a bottle of wine out to the cemetery and just little shot glasses and have a little toast at the cemetery. And everybody, when he did that, was like, no one's ever done that before.
Yeah.
And it's sort of become a thing with him. So that's really cool.
No, that's cool. Well, we just thought, you know, or I thought, that today was an opportunity, while fresh in mind, to have that conversation about this and how to be memorable and the memorable moments. I'm sure we're going to talk about many other memorable moments, as the podcast goes on. But I thought today, while it was fresh in mind, while we did that wonderful service last week, thank you for being the celebrant nailing it.
No worries.
And we wanted the opportunity to share that with you. And, you know, to give you a couple of tips. So thanks for being back in the studio with me. Good to be in our own little space here. It's pretty hot in here, though.
It is warm. It's not as warm as yesterday, but it's good.
And we will be back with our listeners very, very soon. Thank you for being with Celebrate Good Lives, your one and only funeral podcast. Cheers, guys.